One way prisoners can make money and get other benefits is to inform on other prisoners to law enforcement to become, in essence, a jailhouse snitch. But the cash rewards for snitching can entice false leads and result in wrongful convictions. Lawmakers in four states are trying to change the system that rewards jailhouse informants. Parker Yesko reports.
Bruce Lisker was only 17 when he discovered his mother murdered in her suburban Los Angeles home.
I lost my mom and nothing would ever be the same. And I had no idea how not the same it would ever be.
It took investigators less than an hour to zero in on him as a suspect. It took 26 years for a court to determine that they were mistaken. A key piece of evidence used to convict Lisker was testimony from a savvy jailhouse informant, whom he met after being moved out of juvenile detention.
Somebody put it in for me to be transferred to LA County Jail, and suddenly I was. Under 18, I was placed in what later came to be known as the snitch tank.
A grand jury investigation found that the so-called snitch tank of 1980s LA was designed to give seasoned informants access to naive inmates. Lisker says there were holes in his cell's walls. The man in the next cell over suggested that they pray together. He said he could help with Lisker's case and asked for a copy of the police report.
And I rolled it up and I shoved it through that little hole in the wall and let him look at it over dinner. And then we're going to talk later and he's going to, you know, tell me what he thinks, how to help me, how to help himself.
The man was working for law enforcement and for a reduction in his sentence. He said Lisker had confessed to him and his story matched the case file.
He had taken notes of all the stuff that was in there.
Today, inmates still trade info for rewards, sometimes big ones. Two Southern California tipsters pulled in more than $300,000 between 2011 and 2015. Assemblyman Reginald Jones Sawyer has written a state bill to limit these kickbacks.
I'm concerned about the veracity of the information. I might incriminate you at $100,000 a year. That could be a sideline business in prison.
The bill requires better tracking and pretrial disclosure of who says what in jail. And Jones Sawyer is proposing a maximum of $100 in cash or perks per case.
It's a taxpayer's money, and that's where I'm really concerned that we set an equitable number and that we don't exceed it.
Some of these things are not necessarily quantifiable.
Corey Salzillo is with the California State Sheriff's Association, a group opposing the bill. He says it's impossible to tally the costs of certain perks informants receive.
A better cell assignment or, you know, some other type of benefit that is not, you know, a tangible good with an inherent value.
Sheriffs and district attorneys have other concerns about the bill, that tracking informants over time will be tough, and that revealing too much about them will jeopardize other investigations. When it comes to judging their credibility, Salzillo thinks the system works.
I'm not sure you can say just because a person receives something in exchange that they are inherently unreliable, but the defendant will raise the question, certainly. Ultimately, that has to be adjudicated by the court.
Criminal informants are inherently unreliable because, by definition, they're giving the government information in exchange for a benefit.
Loyola Law School professor Alexandra Natapoff has written a book called Snitching, about how criminal informants erode justice.
As one court has said, it's hard to imagine a greater inducement to fabricate than the promise of one's own liberty.
Still, Natapoff says, transparency helps. California prosecutors already have to disclose leniency deals. The new state bill would add to that requirement an informant's criminal record and history of substance abuse, mental illness, and informing in other cases. Washington and Illinois are considering similar bills.
States seem to be coming to a consensus that more information is better, it leads to fewer wrongful convictions, and it's just a fairer and better way to run the adversarial system.
When he was transferred back to juvenile detention, Bruce Lisker was still sure he could prove his innocence. Then, one day, his lawyer dropped a bombshell. That friend he'd prayed with at the county jail was planning to testify against him. Lisker remembers hearing the news.
My jaw is on the table. And I think it was at that moment that whatever hope I had shining back at me from my attorney was gone.
It wasn't only his hope for acquittal that was gone. Lisker says it was also his faith that the justice system delivers truth. He spent 26 years behind bars before a court overturned his conviction and set him free. For NPR News, I'm Parker Yesko in Los Angeles.